You're listening to Make Every Death Count. Brought to you by the Slash and Cast Podcast Network. Listen closely, horror fans, and get ready for one hell of a show. But make sure you hang on tight, because this is going to be a very spooky and bumpy ride. I hope you survive. Now, to all my favorite ghouls, goblins, and ghosts, here are your hosts, Nick and Riley.
What's happening, lovers? What's going on? We gonna get tropical. We gonna get tropical. Welcome back to another episode of Make Every Death Count. My name is Riley.
My name is Nick.
It's been a hot minute since we've been in this seat, this specific seat right here. Make Every Death Count. It's a hot seat, I'll tell you that much. It's good to be here. You know, I don't think we've released an episode in 2021. I don't think so. If my calculations are correct, we have not released an episode in 2021. But now, we're on for the grind, okay? Today, we're going to be talking about asymmetrical multiplayer horror games. But coming up, man, we got a whole bunch of other stuff. We got next week, Halloween 3 versus F-13 Part 5. TCM, remake versus original. TCM video game possibilities, things like that. Okay, we're scheduled out, we're ready to go, we're back to the grind. It's been a crazy year so far though, and in a one-page essay, Nick, give me a breakdown of your first 3 months of 2021.
Well, working two jobs, that's great. Also switched schools, just got done with my first set of classes. I got an A plus in one of them and probably like a B minus in the other. That's it.
Nice.
Just work, school, sleep, work, sleep.
Yeah, that pretty much sums up for me too. I'd say the most exciting thing I've done so far, I was out in Seattle to film for Rose Blood. So I disappeared for 2 weeks doing that. And that was insane. 16 hour plus days. The last day we shot, it was 21 hours. We got done shooting and it was a crazy shooting. Like, it was a lot of stunts. It was intense stuff. And then I went straight from shooting to the airport and flew home. That was exhausting. Fell asleep on the plane, spilled water on Peter, who was sitting next to me on the plane. It was a mess.
Nice.
That was a good time though. I'm really excited to see what happens within, made a ton of friends in that process as well. So it was a good time. But, some cool things have happened in 2021 so far when it comes to horror video games. We know a lot's going to be released this year. For example, you have Back 4 Blood, Evil Dead the Game, Resident Evil Village is another one. The Outlast Trials, which I almost forgot about for a second. The Outlast Trials is a whole other multiplayer horror game that's in its own category, it seems. It's going to be like in that co-op type of immersion situation, which I'm really excited for, by the way. Let me just say. Then there's like a million other horror games coming out this year. You have Five Nights at Freddy's as well. That new game, Devour, is supposed to come out this year. There's just a lot going on in the horror genre this year, and it'll probably be a lot more to come that we haven't seen yet. Didn't even Aliens Fireteam. Didn't even mention that. That's another not so much asymmetrical. I mean, it's asymmetrical, but it's not asymmetrical multiplayer, at least not in a PvP way that we're used to. The thing is, man, asymmetrical multiplayer horror games, even now, are very relevant, okay? Like, they're still pushing out like crazy to the point where even, like, big franchises continue to make games. We just had Predator Hunting Grounds last year, and now Aliens was announced this year, and it sounds like Gunn is working on another probably asymmetrical multiplayer franchise horror game. So, in this podcast today, we're going to talk about, one, which ones have succeeded, which ones have failed, and why, and is this genre on its way out? I'm something that really concerns me about the asymmetrical horror genre is that I think it might be like the slasher genre in the 80s. It was big, right? I think that's what might happen, man. I think like the slasher genre in the 80s, super big, okay? Everyone was buying them. They're making a ton of money. You can make them for cheap, yada, yada. Then Nightmare on Elm Street comes along, changes the game up a little bit, steps it up, makes some high quality shit. And then all of a sudden, people have to start making things as good as Nightmare on Elm Street. And they don't. And then they fail. And then the genre dies. And that doesn't come back until Scream. And then we kind of, you know, we're kind of in a golden age of slasher again right now, sort of. I think we're going to start seeing a lot more slasher films again. But that's something that's scary with asymmetrical horror games. So out of the ones we've gotten a lot of asymmetrical multiplayers. Let's talk about the most relevant ones that we've seen recently. Last year, okay? That was big in the conversation. Maybe not good, but it was in the conversation, okay? Hide or Die, Friday the 13th, the game, obviously. Dead by Daylight, Predator Hunting Grounds. And I think Deceit should also be in that mix, which you could say Among Us is in that mix as well, but calling it a horror game is questionable at best. Now, in your opinion, Nicholas, out of those, which ones have succeeded?
Well, I know it's easy answers. Dead by Daylight, Friday the 13th, the game. Other than that, I mean, I guess you could say Deceit. And in some regards, you could probably say Predator Hunting Grounds, but even then, that's a stretch.
Financially, I guess. I mean, they probably made their money back and some.
The main issue with a lot of these games is either not enough variety in maps or game play, which, I mean, asymmetrical horror, you're supposed to have, you know, a different experience every game you play. And in games like Predator Hunting Grounds, especially last year, that was just not the case. You were so limited on your maps and your objectives, and it just lost its charm after a couple hours of gameplay.
Yeah, and you know, Dead by Daylight and F-13 are the obvious ones. Like they clearly they made some money and they held a player base, right? Like F-13 is pretty slow now, but even all these years later, no dedicated servers, you still find people with no issues across all platforms. The only one that's a little broken is PC for obvious reasons. You got a lot of hackers over there, and it was never that big on PC in the first place because they dropped on all consoles right away. And in a game like this, often most players are going to be on consoles. That seems to be stronger over there. But like on PlayStation, no issues whatsoever. Switch still has dedicated servers. They're hanging strong over there. Dead by Daylight, I think, is the one we need to focus on to start things off here. Dead by Daylight holds 50 to 70,000 concurrent players on average, sometimes more, sometimes a little less. But that's on Steam alone, right? They tend to be holding a lot of players all the time, all areas of the day. Anytime they release a new chapter, they're making a ton of money. It sells, even if it's original, not a franchise or IP chapter. So they're doing good. What is it about Dead by Daylight that works so well? What is different about Dead by Daylight than last year? Now, I think I have a kind of a straightforward answer for it, but do you, Nick? Do you, audience at home, do you know the answer to this trivia question?
I really don't know, other than just enough variety with your maps, with your survivors, your killers, and then bringing in those licensed DLCs alongside original killers and survivors and backstories.
So that definitely plays a factor, right? If I went back to college, I'd write an essay on this shit because I've just done so much bullshit research on this at this point. Dead by Daylight, it found an audience by using chapters, right? It found an audience when it released the Halloween chapter, and they jump every time they release a new IP chapter. It happens every time. Stranger Things, they release Stranger Things, and here comes 100,000 more players. But it's easy to bring somebody in, okay? It's easy to get someone's attention, but you got to keep them. And Dead by Daylight tends to keep them. Their turnover rate is tremendous. How do they do that? That's the trickier part, because it's not just having different maps and whatnot. I think what makes Dead by Daylight work, and I think what makes all asymmetrical multiplayer work, is not being told what to do. The power of free will. That's what I'd say. The power of free will inside these games is absolutely crucial. in Dead by Daylight, and even more, F-13 is actually more obvious in Dead by Daylight when it comes to this. You're given, hey, okay, do these five gens. Don't care. You just got to do five of them. Don't care which ones you do. Do you want to run around like an idiot the whole time? Do it. Don't care. If you're the killer, do you want to only go for this one person? Do you want a tunnel? Do you want to go cover the whole map? You have so many options. Oh, but then Dead by Daylight's like, hey, we have items for you, okay? Pick which items you want. We won't force them on you. Oh, we have a whole shit ton of perks you have to learn. Go figure them out. Grind it. Hey, we also have a ranking system. Rank one makes you cool, okay? Grind your way up to rank one. Make it happen. That when you're not told what to do and you can just go in and play and it's the power of free will, it works, man. There's replayability there. Friday the 13th, you're told, hey, here are things you can do, but you don't have to do them. You can fix a car. You can repair the phone. You can fix a boat. You can wait, run out of the time. I don't care. Do what you want, but just play it how you want to play. Among Us is a good example. Among Us is so fucking easy. Like, there's nothing in Among Us. You don't do anything. It's so basic. But everybody keeps playing because there's the element of not knowing who it is and the ability to lie your way through things however you want. You don't have to say anything specific. You say whatever the fuck you want, and you bamboozle your way through it. You don't have to kill in any specific order. You kill how you want to kill. It's your choice to do the objectives or not, or just hide or follow the killer and follow this person, follow that person. So that game is literally just like, here's a tiny map. Here are the most basic objectives that you can do if you want. And then there's a killer out there. It's so basic. It's so fucking simple, but people keep playing and it's still popular now. Like, then you take, those games worked and they tend to be able to hold an audience. But then you look at Predator Hunting Grounds, let's say, for example. Let's say last year, because last year fucking died. Predator Hunting Grounds at least still has players. Last year says you have to go find the gas. You have to take it here. After you do that, you have to do this. You have to then go up the stairs. You got to go out the door. Like, you have to do these things in this order or you're not escaping. And, like, that's boring. That there's just no replayability there. And even more so when, like you said, there's only three maps. Is there three maps last year? Did they get to that?
Three or six. It's been so long. I don't even remember. I think it was so, just...
They have six maps, two different locations, but it's three different variants of those maps, right? Is that how that works?
Correct.
Yeah, I think that. I don't know. But so you basically have two main objectives you have to do, you know, and it's just like, and they're basically the same freaking thing. Take this here, put it in this, go up the stairs, walk over to the exit gate. And like, that's it, man. And like, when you're stuck and when you're limited to doing those things, it doesn't work, man. A game that actually I thought had the right idea, but just got bamboozled by a lack of a player base and, I don't know, maybe poor marketing, I'm not sure. Hide or Die had the right idea. Like, on paper, if you showed me Hide or Die, it should be up there with Dead by Daylight and F-13 in terms of keeping players in. But unlike F-13, unlike Dead by Daylight, they didn't have that clickbait. Hide or Die didn't have the clickbait. That was their problem. Dead by Daylight's got a million freaking IPs at this point. Every horror icon, like, ever, except for, like, Jason is in there. F-13 had Jason. It was Friday the 13th, iconic franchise. So they had the clickbait. They brought in the players, and they had the ability to keep the players. Predator Hunting Grounds has the clickbait, but they're not able to keep the players because they have the same problem. What are you doing, Predator, bro? It's the same fucking thing. Every time you're going to go to this location and you're going to press square. And then you're going to go to the next location and you're going to press square again. It's same thing every time.
Yeah.
In all jungle maps.
Yeah. I definitely agree with that. And, you know, a part of what I think also led to the success of Dead by Daylight, Friday the 13th, is the developers or publishers' communication. For example, Dead by Daylight has dev streams answering questions. Having PTBs is a big one. Being able to have, you know, the players actually figure out what works best. Friday the 13th, the game, Gun Media used to do 2 live streams a week talking to the community. And I feel like that was a big part of their successes as well, on top of the different gameplay that keeps you playing. Last year did have decent communication when it finally launched, had those dev streams, but again, that doesn't save the game. The gameplay itself was so repetitive, it wasn't fun anymore.
Yeah, yeah, it's just like the first week when these games launch is always pretty good. It always feels strong. And then it just dies so fast because it is just the same thing every time. But now, all these years later, I can play Dead by Daylight all night every night. I can play F-13 all night every night and really don't have any issues. I mean, obviously, at some point, you're going to get burnt out, but you could always come back to it. Predator Hunting Grounds, I find myself struggling to want and go to go play. And the thing is, with these games, you have to be able to have just as much fun, or at least enough fun to get by playing with randoms, okay? Like, you shouldn't have to rely on your friends that you can have a good time doing anything with to have a good time. I can go to F-13, play with random people, have a good time. Dead by Daylight's the same thing. Of course, you're going to have more fun with friends, but you can do that. Predator Hunting Grounds, I don't feel like I can do that, man. It's so freaking boring to do the same 3 objectives that the game offers, to go one location after another. Predator Hunting Grounds, don't get me wrong, you could just do nothing. I mean, you could do nothing and just stay back and camp and wait for Predator. But there's nothing like satisfying about that whatsoever. So even that is just, it doesn't work. If you get a really good Predator in Predator Hunting Grounds, it can be more exciting then. But there's only a handful of like elite Predators out there. So it's just on the struggle bus. And I think Predator specifically, and I don't blame Ilphonic for this, I think this is a big 20th Century Fox and Sony problem. The focus on DLC is fucking terrible. And Dead by Daylight has that issue sometimes too, where cosmetics are a priority. So they keep everything survivor favored, so that you want to play Survivor more and buy more cosmetics. It's kind of their cheeky little play, but whatever. Yeah, man, like Predator, like what are they doing releasing Marshawn Lynch? Like, what is that? We have fucking 4 jungle maps, 3-4 jungle maps, and you release Marshawn Lynch? What are we doing here? Like, I don't get it.
Yeah, unfortunately, it is a lot easier to talk about the negatives than it is the positives, and especially in the asymmetrical horror genre, because a good percentage of the games are flops.
Yeah.
Like we said last year, Hide or Die, they aren't in development anymore. They're done. Yep. Less than a year lifespan.
Yep. It sucks, man. And I just don't want any other asymmetrical horror games to hit that fate, because I don't want this genre to die, because I still think the best has yet to come. I still think, you know, if Gun is making a TCM game like we're predicting, bro, that could be huge, and I don't want it to be dead before it even gets out. And then, you know, what hasn't been touched yet? Halloween hasn't been touched yet. Nightmare on Elm Street hasn't been touched yet. Not to mention original games you could still do. Dead by Daylight still has a lot that it can accomplish over there. So I don't want the genre to die before it really hits its peak. There's so much more that they can do and that has yet to come. So we got to figure this shit out. we got to figure this out and why some games are failing and some aren't. Yeah, man, I just think you don't want a linear experience. That is how I'd explain it. And, you know, I actually talked to Wes Keldner about this at some point. It's like, when you play an asymmetrical horror game, a lot of these asymmetrical horror games especially are paying homage to, you know, horror movies. But you don't want it to play it like a movie. You don't want it to be a linear movie experience. You want it to be free will, free choice. You figure out how you want to survive. We'll give you options, but it's up to you. And that works, man. And it doesn't take much, man. You don't need a ton of options. Like I said, with Dead by Daylight, dude, it's like there's still only five gens you have to do. You just got to pick which gens, what order you want to do them in, how, which players are on which gens at which time, how are you going to loop the killer, how are you going to use your items. There's just a lot that comes into play there that changes every single game. Is a different experience. The killer you're facing changes your experience. It's, I don't know, man, like that just makes the game that much more exciting.
One outlier that I see is Deceit. So Deceit has always averaged 1,000 players on PC. 1,000. Yeah. They launched, they got 16,000 viewers or 16,000 players. Otherwise, it just sits. It goes from 1,000, and at its low points, it goes down to 300-200 at night. That game is a little more linear than some of these other games, but still has longevity to this day. The peak right now in 24-hour peak is 1,100, and that's playing right now.
Yeah, and I think that it really only takes that little bit of deceitfulness, that little bit not knowing who is the killer is enough to kind of to suck you in. And I think Among Us is the same way. Like, you don't do shit in Among Us. I can't like reiterate that enough. That is like such a good example of how the most basic of things can be so successful. Like, you do nothing except for to often just hold one button on an objective and wait. You were just waiting for people to die and to find bodies. You know, but that's enough. Like, not knowing who that killer is enough suspense to keep you intrigued.
That's odd. I mean, yeah, like we said, Among Us isn't a horror game. It's just not. It has horror feel to it. I mean, there's killing, but it's not a horror game. It released a couple years ago, and just has recently blown up. And how did that happen? And now, I think we're going to get a wave of games like Deceit, like Among Us in the near future. And obviously they need to be a little bit more complex than Among Us if you want to hit. Well, no, Among Us proves it can be simple like that. You can have fun in a simple way.
Yeah. And there are some big IPs out there that could come in and make an Among Us type of game.
The Thing.
You can make The Thing. Yeah, you can make a The Thing game and totally take that formula and just make it rated R and like, or rated M or whatever, and make a horror driven Among Us style game that probably would be like a first person type of adventure and do something along those lines. I think that'd be sick. You could also take Scream, man. Scream's on a comeback, releasing a new film in January of 2021 or 2022. So Scream's gonna be relevant again, and though, why not have a game like that, Among Us Scream style? I think that'd be sick. It would totally work,
right? Like Secret Neighbor is one that, you know, isn't really talked about because it is more of a kid's game, but it is more scary than Among Us is. And yeah, have that format in like a Scream type of game. Like, you are a kid in Secret Neighbor, and then when you transform into the killer, the adult, the neighbor, you're a grown-ass man. You just instantly flash up to a different height. Have it the same way with Scream. You instantly, when you want to transform to kill someone or grab someone, boom, you go from a regular kid to boom, now you're Ghostface.
Yeah. And or you could even make it where you take advantage of hiding spots around the map. You know, you could jump into a closet, and then when you jump out, you're Ghostface. So you can either run around as Ghostface, or you can jump out and kill somebody and jump back in, and then you come back out as a regular person. There's a million freaking things you could do. I was talking, Face Fister the other night when we were playing Dead by Daylight. He was like, you could just take off your the gown. You know, you could take off your costume and throw it into a trash can and come back and grab it again when you want to be Ghostface. Or there's a lot of options for that. But Secret Neighbor style, that would work just fine, man. That's basically what Paranoia was going to be in Friday the 13th, the game. Yep. I'm curious, because they said they never found a point where it was fun enough to release it. I'm curious how that played out, because clearly, you know,
Among Us.
Yeah, they're playing plenty of fun over there. I think what makes Among Us so different, though, is your ability to discuss who it is. Like, that's a really key part in the game, being deceitful, you know, and lying your way to victory. That's a big part of it, and trying to figure out who it is, rather than just being like, oh, there's that person, let's kill him. You actually have to vote them off. You vote them off the island. And I don't know how that would come into to play with a Scream game, but it'd still be interesting. Deceit doesn't have anything like that. You just have to rely on voice chat. I don't know. If voice chat is actually extremely prevalent in these games, it'd be fine. But otherwise, that being able to type to each other, that was really key with Among Us. It wouldn't work otherwise.
Yeah, definitely. I'm trying to remember. Did Hide or Die, did they have voice chat?
Yes. Yeah.
Was it proximity? I think it was.
I think so.
It had to be proximity.
But then they also had the phone. You know, you could text on the phone.
Right. Yeah. It'd be really interesting to take like the best parts of each game and make one game. And in theory, that should be the greatest asymmetrical horror game ever made.
Yeah, theoretically. On paper.
that's really, maybe that's a Make Every Death Count future episode.
About making the best one?
Yeah.
How we do that?
Taking aspects from each of these games that have succeeded and failed and trying to make the best game possible in theory.
Yeah. You know, I still think we have a lot of asymmetrical horror games to come over the next few years. Actually, I want to talk about Aliens Fireteam a little bit and why I'm concerned for Aliens Fireteam, because I think that game might have the same issues Predator does, and I think it might lose its player base really fast. Could be wrong for a handful of reasons, but if you look at Aliens Fireteam, which just got announced at the beginning of March, I think March 2nd, it is only co-op. It's a co-op, basically World War Z, Left 4 Dead type of game where you are taking on xenomorphs instead of zombies. It's the four of you fighting your way through xenomorphs to complete a mission. Like, that formula works. Like, Left 4 Dead has shown that you can do that. But go play Left 4 Dead and look at how many freaking game modes there are. And there's a lot of PvP game modes. It keeps it going. So you have a story mode, which hopefully Aliens has, and that'll kind of keep it up for a little bit. But then there's your missions, yada yada, take on zombies, that's fun. But then there's the PvP side of things. Aliens right now is not being promoted any sort of PvP side of the game where you will not be playing as xenomorphs. I think it's going to bomb if that's the case. Like, I don't think it's going to have a lot of replayability. I think multiplayer servers are going to struggle on Aliens Fireteam if they run that route. Because, dude, man, I think there are two things that work with Aliens. You have an Alien Isolation type of game, which a single player, like, masterpiece, bro. Super suspenseful, captures what Alien is tremendously. Then I think you got to go PvP, man. You have Aliens, multiple Aliens. You could even do like a 5v5 scenario or something like that. Just like Left 4 Dead does with zombies versus your humans. I think that'd be super fun. I just don't think if it's exclusively co-op, I don't think it's going to do too well. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. I'm excited for it, but I think replayability is going to be a really big factor with Aliens.
Right. It is the same as World War Z developers, correct?
No.
No?
Yes. No. It's not. Because it's Cold Iron Studios. And it's being published by 20th Century Fox, right? Or yeah. Yeah, Cold Iron Studios is developing it, and they don't have like any background yet.
Because like World War Z was so fun. But again, the replayability, I just did these missions with friends and okay, yeah, we're going to do it a second time because okay, we're going to try it this way now. But there's not much replayability after that.
Yeah. Confirm here, Cold Iron Studios is making Aliens. The reason you were thinking that Saber Interactive made World War Z, they're doing Evil Dead.
That's right. So that is right. That's what I was thinking of. So yeah, hopefully, Aliens cannot fall into the same trap that World War Z had, or Predator Hunting Grounds had. Content. Need content.
Yeah. You know, it is asymmetrical multiplayer still, but it's not PvP, so it's hard to put it in the same conversation.
Right.
But yeah, it is something that is a little concerning. I just think it might fall off quickly. If they have a dope story mode or really cool missions, or it's still good. Like, the first 2 weeks are going to be a fucking blast. I promise you that. It's going to be a ton of fun to play with your friends. You know, they have 11 different xenomorphs in the game, at least at launch. So, like, I don't know. It's going to be cool. It's going to be cool to do that. But one other thing I think it's going to hold it back is it's third person. Mm-hmm. You know, that's not going to be immersive. Not an Aliens environment. The Alien Isolation is so scary because it feels like you're there, man. It's like you are, when you play Alien Isolation, you're invested. And everything around you is concerning because it could be a xenomorph at any time. And you have to play quiet. You have to play smart. If you're in third person, I just think it's going to be fucking World War Z, dude. It's just going to be run and gun, take down xenomorphs like crazy. And I don't know. One, I don't think it captures the franchise very well. It does a little bit for Aliens, I guess. But that, dude, Aliens, they were still scared shitless, okay? You just had Ripley being a badass sometimes, all right? There were still a lot of carnage in Aliens, no doubt about it. So I don't know, man. I just think they may not be capturing the franchise the way they are wanting to. And I think it might lose some replayability because of the simplistic go kill aliens and get to the other side of the ship type of gameplay that we're seeing so far. I don't know. I, like I said, still excited for it. This is the first we're really seeing from Cold Iron Studios, and it's still Alien. It's still Xenomorphs, but I think it might be basically a co-op version of Predator Hunting Grounds.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just amazing. Asymmetrical multiplayer has a lot of potential. It's the little things with this genre. It's the little things with this genre that makes it work. And Dead by Daylight, although they do some shit that pisses me off, and they haven't fixed some things that pisses me off, they found the formula that works, and you just got to find a way not to replicate that formula, but to take something similar and apply it to what you're trying to do. And Evil Dead the Game, I'm really curious where they're going to go, because Evil Dead the Game so far, they've confirmed they have PvP, but they also have a co-op side of things that's definitely going to be a horde-style gameplay against Deadites. If that's all the game was, I would be concerned. But because they already announced PvP, and just, you have to assume they're doing more than just multiplayer, because you took the time to bring in Dana DeLorenzo and Ray Santiago, and you got Bruce Campbell, and Bruce has already confirmed that more people are involved voice acting from like the original franchise. Why not do more, man? Do some single player in there. You know, get some Ash vs. Evil Dead Season 4. If you're taking all that time, spending all that money to get that voice acting, and it's only for Horde-style gameplay, to say a couple one-liners here and there, I ain't buying it.
Right.
There's got to be more. So I'm excited to see more of Evil Dead the Game, but I have more faith in that than Aliens for now, just because they have PvP instantly. And that's a big deal.
Yeah.
And Evil Dead games have worked in the past. They were single player games, but they worked.
Yeah, like I don't think asymmetrical horror is, you know, on its way out just yet. Probably a couple more big time flops, it could be the end, and Dead by Daylight will stand alone.
Yeah, I don't think Dead by Daylight's going anywhere. You know, they're coming up on their 5-year anniversary. I don't think they're going anywhere. No. I think they still have a lot of tricks up their sleeves. They just released a fucking K-pop killer, and it's still going to make a ton of money. You know?
Yeah.
Who saw that coming?
Stranger Things. Like, that DLC alone, like, gave them enough revenue to keep updating the game and paying their employees for at least another couple of years.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, there's that other asymmetrical horror game coming out as well. I think we were part of the beta for a little bit. I played a little bit in the beta. Kind of zoning out what it's called.
Home Sweet Home?
Yeah, Home Sweet Home. That game is inspired a lot by Dead by Daylight for sure. And they have a pretty cool concept over there. The problem is a lot of the people making these games and the ones that are ultimately flopping, because that's just the world we live in with these video games, it's usually no budget, bro. It's such a minimal budget with minimally experienced devs, still talented devs, but usually people that, you know, they're not doing AAA games. So you end up getting a kind of a clunky game to start, at least to start, and you kind of have to rely on your player base to fund you and to make it the game better. But you never get to that opportunity because the game flops. You know, it's a tough spot to be in.
Home Sweet Home Survive released 2 days ago as the date of recording this.
So there you go.
It's in early access. It's $7. Yeah, I mean, $7. Try it on out.
I have played it, and it's pretty fun. Like I said, man, there's just some things that are a little clunky that make it frustrating at times. Like running away from the killer is a whole other experience than you're used to from these games. And when you get in a clunky experience like that and ends up getting you killed, yeah, it gets pretty frustrating pretty quickly.
Right. And the developers are not English speaking. I don't know what language this is. I'm trying to find it out.
I mean, it's like Japanese killers. So are they Japanese?
It's like, I don't know. It doesn't look Japanese. Detect language. Don't tell me. Cool.
Yeah, they have like they have killers similar to last year killers mixed with like
Thai.
Okay. Yeah. Like I said, it's cool. It's a cool concept. It's just I think it's going to struggle simply based on developmental issues, and that's where a lot of these games fall.
Soul at Stake.
That's the other one. That's the other one I was forgetting. Yeah, Soul at Stake was fun. I like Soul at Stake.
But you couldn't play a damn game in outside of Asia.
Yeah, they had server issues and a player base issue. They just didn't have many people. But like the concept was, that was a fun concept because you were literally playing blackjack.
Yeah.
You were playing blackjack. Instead of doing generators, you were playing blackjack. And I thought that was fun. That was way more exciting than fucking just holding R1 on a gen, you know?
Soul at Stake is still in early access. I wonder how many players are still playing.
It can't be many.
Soul at Stake. SteamDB. Yeah, it can't be many. But again, the Asian following over there is... it's probably holding it pretty well. Steam charts. 26 players playing right now.
Yeah. It's,
it looks like every night there's about 250 people playing. And I assume that's probably all over in Asia. Because,
yeah,
that was such a fun game. But the killer was the host, you know.
Yeah.
And you're... I mean, there's no secret that, you know, Asian players are usually god at whatever game they want to perfect. So they'd be the killers and they're the host. And now you're super laggy if you're playing over here in North America.
Yeah. Yeah. And the all time peak for players was 2000 players, which is not many. And that was 3 years ago. That was when we were playing. So yeah, it's probably never going to get off this early access, but
their last date updated was 5 days ago for Soul at Stake. 5 days ago. Wow. Good for them.
Yeah, it was a cool game. And it kind of addressed all the issues that we were mentioning. It wasn't linear, man. Like, you picked what to do. You played blackjack and had to. And what was cool was that people could put your cards in to the machine and then someone else could come finish it for you later. It was a cool concept.
I do remember when it first came out, like the first month that it was out, they literally had Dead by Daylight perk images in their perks. And we're like, oh no, you can't do that.
Yeah, no, it's very similar to Dead by Daylight. It's pretty much Dead by Daylight with less complicated perks. And instead of generators, you're playing blackjack.
I mean, yeah, if we had enough people on... over here in North America that were able to get a game going, I'd play it.
Yeah. Maybe someday.
Yeah.
Can you buy it? Like, can you just...
I believe so. I don't have it installed. Yeah, it's still in early access. Was it $7? Let me see. Early access, $18.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Kind of losing me there.
Yeah.
Wait, what the fuck is this, bro? Soul at Stake, the outfits are insane. This fucking outfit cost $40.
A DLC cost $40. Oh, my God.
It's just a fucking outfit. All right, I lost all respect. I fucked this game. If you ever charge $40 for a fucking outfit, you're an asshole.
It's one outfit. English language not supported. So
they found they know what they're doing now. They don't care about us anymore.
but that was fun, and that was a really refreshing game to play when Friday the 13th started having their legal issues, and Dead by Daylight got a little lazy because there was no competition left.
Yeah. Dude, this literally looks like Dead by Daylight Mobile.
Yeah.
Like, that's basically what I'm looking at is Dead by Daylight Mobile. So
it was really refreshing to play. I really wish it could have had more of a following over in the States and maybe, you know, had a little bit better support for non-Chinese speakers. But it was a fun game.
Yeah. So I don't know. Well, we need some more games like that. And just to a non-linear horror experience is what makes asymmetrical multiplayer work. That's kind of been the proven formula so far. And there's going to be a lot more to come. This year alone, you're looking at Aliens Fireteam, Evil Dead the Game, still waiting on Guns announcement. For God's sake, please come soon. Outlast Trials will probably be similar to that as well. Asymmetrical horror is an exciting genre, and it's for really the first time ever is allowing the horror genre to step away from single player. And I think we need that. Okay. This world we live in is one that relies on multiplayer and the ability to level up. That's important as well, by the way. Dead by Daylight, even when you are like max the fuck out, like if you have 1,000 hours, you still will have something to unlock because you still need items. You still need add-ons. You still need offerings. So you're constantly still spending blood points and still have something to do. That's important. Have something for your players to do at all times, something to work towards, because that makes all the difference. If you have a goal, a place you want to get to, that helps you as a player. Don't just last year didn't have a fucking progression system. And that'll put you on the struggle bus.
However, their blood web, when they finally get it out, it's very similar to the blood web from Dead by Daylight. It was okay.
Yeah, it's fine, I guess.
Like that, when they finally got it out, it was fine. Like if that would have been there at launch, maybe we still wouldn't be playing it.
Nah, we wouldn't be playing it, but it would have helped.
It would have helped.
Yeah, it would have helped for sure. All right, well, I think that's our final points there for asymmetrical multiplayer. We will be back next week talking about Halloween 3 and Friday the 13th Part 5, so be there, be square. It's been an absolute pleasure. Make sure you check out the rest of the podcast network at slashandcast.network. A lot of things to enjoy over there. Hey, if you like Amazon Music as well, I know you, which you should, by the way. If you're still paying for music, individual songs, you're doing it wrong, okay? If you want something to help keep you relaxed, something to listen to 100% of the time with 70 million plus songs, you could use Amazon Music. Follow our link in the description below. They'll take you over there, and you get 1 month free of Amazon Music. Try it out for yourself. You can also listen to a lot of the podcasts in the Slashcast Network right over there on Amazon Music. So that's all I really got to say about that. Anything else, Nicholas?
Stay tuned. Slashcast Podcast Network 2021. Let's get it.
Big things. Big things. All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that is that. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll talk to you next time. Bye. Bye.
Well, well, well. Would you look at that? You survived all of the crazy and deadly shenanigans that the Slash and Cast Podcast Network threw at you today. Since you made it this far, consider leaving a 5-star review. And make sure you share this show with your creepy friends. Until next time, horror fans, stay safe, and more importantly, stay scared.
I want to hear you scream.